And now we have some letters from the Evening News. We have a bumper mailbox this month. First, email reaction to the story about a new railway station for Norwich. Steve wrote, "I can't see it doing much to reduce the number of people driving to Broadland Business Park. If you happen to live in the city centre, it's already easy to get a bus out to it. If you don't live right in the city centre, then this makes no difference. To go by public transport, you still have to go into the city on a bus first and then change, making it far more time-consuming and inconvenient than just driving directly from home to work." And so many haters added, "So many commentators assuming that it would be used only one way, to get people out to Broadland for daily work. How about the other way, as a park and ride into the city, thereby reducing the number of vehicles on the roads? If the station was by the existing park and ride, then you'd already have a good-sized parking facility and you could do away with the buses there."
Leslie Carneen of Clarendon Road in Norwich wrote in to the Evening News to explain her position on the bollards. "As one of the two Clarendon Road residents featured in the Evening News, may I correct two statements made by the council to justify removing our fine ornamental iron bollards without notification or consultation. The council said they are under 3 feet in height. In fact, they measure over a metre, which sets them outside the height at which they can be removed without consultation. Planners also said they date from the late 1980s. Residents in the road remember them from the 60s. And we have an early photo that shows them in situ in 1910. Your photo shows clearly that these are far older items than the council alleges."
There were many other comments on Bollard Gate sent in online. John Norton wrote, "The village blacksmith reckons he could modify them so they folded down as required in a matter of hours." Jerry Mitson asked, "Have the council not heard of a thing called a broom?" Green Ink from Tunbridge Wells said, "That alley looks as though it doesn't need a mechanical sweeper, so why are the council bothered about removing these bollards?" Wimspen had a suggestion. "Perhaps the two ladies should take responsibility for cleaning the alley concerned in exchange for the bollards being left in place." But so many haters, again, said this is a non-starter. The council would waive health and safety at that one. The ladies don't have high visibility jackets. They've not been trained in the safe usage of a broom. They don't have the public liability insurance in case someone injured themselves in the alley and blames it on the cleanliness or lack of it.
The Evening News asked its readers what they think of all the roadworks in Norwich. Bill Kite of Cherry Close in Norwich replied, "In reply to your request about what readers think about all the roadworks here in Norwich, frankly and in total honesty, I have never agreed with all the continuous alterations the planners have deemed necessary to implement one after another over the years, changing this for the idea and then changing it back again so all the way they pass applications to build and disrupt many businesses, etc. But now I am convinced their sole intention is to try to put visitors and locals off coming in completely. I now do my very best never to drive into the city and advise others to do the same, as even dropping off poorly passengers is becoming harder and harder. I cannot for the life of me understand what they're trying to achieve. They've even made a life a nightmare for the blind. It is a living nightmare with hold-ups everywhere. I can see a time in the not-too-distant future when we will see many more shops cease trading as people simply see the city centre as a no-go area. Gone are the days when if you were attacked or injured as a pedestrian in Norwich, a passing motorist might come to your aid, but as the police are fewer these days and people so distrustful of strangers, also fewer passing vehicles, it all makes our once lovely city a place you simply do not want to be. Parking is always a hassle, with queues everywhere you go. Parking is never straightforward and also expensive compared to out of town, where it is often free and where you can be free from all the grief and hassle our so-called planners inflict on all of us. They will not be happy until the city is dead, 24/7. I have ventured in occasionally, and it is but a shadow of its former self. Children could not make such a mess if they really tried. Our planners are rubbish, and always have been, in my opinion. They cannot venture out into the real world before making their alterations, can they? It is criminal. If I was still a trader here, I would not bother renewing leases and get the hell out of here as quickly as humanly possible. It should not be like this, should it? It affects us all one way or another. So the sooner someone reverses the stupid alterations, the better. I should live that long. I'm beginning to really hate it, as it's not what I came to Norwich to enjoy. None of us did.
Peter Kimpton of South Avenue in Thorpe St Andrew agreed with Bill Kite. He says, I couldn't agree more with Bill Kite's accurate assessment of the decline of Norwich in his letter. The Norwich of the post-war 1940s and 50s was a place full of character, with folk from out in the county coming into the city for market days and the like, adding a unique feel and atmosphere to the place. Subsequent decades have witnessed a sad decline, aided and abetted by the city planners. The recent and ongoing road changes within the city centre, a complete and pointless shambles, together with subsequent proposals to potentially close off Prince of Wales Road, would simply add just another unwanted inconvenience to motorists heading, for example, towards Thorpe St Andrew and other nearby surrounding areas. One can readily see why motorists are so frustrated, and, like Mr. Kite, I keep away from the centre of Norwich as much as possible. The so-called planners will leave an inheritance for which they should be ashamed. In terms of actual architecture in the city centre, the recently installed façade at the back of the inn's entrance to the Castle Mall, as an example, looks as though it was shipped in directly from Blackpool Seafront and is totally out of keeping with its immediate surroundings. But all is not lost. For those who haven't already discovered it yet, try Fakenham on a Thursday market day, which is pretty much like Norwich used to be. A great and friendly atmosphere, no problems with parking, excellent produce stalls in the central area, enough coffee shops to keep you happy, loads of stalls selling all sorts of smaller knick-knacks, tools and antique items, and of course Beck's auction rooms, offering lots of interesting items to bid for. Great fun. Come at lunchtime, try the Drifter for an excellent fish and chip lunch. All, in my opinion, Fakenham, certainly on market days, knocks spots off the mess that is now central Norwich. Try it for yourselves.
Finally, Louise Black, of Saxlingham Nethergate, wrote in to say how sorry she was to hear of the struggles of the Norwich building company W.S. Lusher and Son. This year has certainly shaped up to be an unhappy year to date. Such sad crimes that make us all question the meaning of what it is to be human, coupled with the untimely passing of those we have welcomed into our hearts through their music or art, remind of why this year will linger in our memories. But closer to home and of deep personal sadness to me is hearing of the struggles of W.S. Lusher and Son. Mark Lusher and his team conserved and transformed a property that has been my privilege to call my family home for some 20 years. The skill, professionalism, and good grace of each member of the team meant that I have nothing but positive memories of the build experience. Wattle and daub walls were cautiously exposed, preserved and recreated. Joiners shaped wooden beams with the precision and skill of a sculptor. I have always said to visitors who have commented on its feel that this house belongs to Lusher's, as much as it does to our family. They breathe new life into a building condemned to dereliction, ensuring another century of life and living and living. I sincerely hope that there is someone, somewhere, who will breathe new life into and therefore protect the core values of this significant company.